All right, we're back.
jokes.
Yeah, I hope that one had some laughs. It ought to.
What a relief after Chiron. Perhaps the who I admire, but one of the biggest bummers that we've done on the pod.
It was funny because of the way these two episodes worked out. I had prepared a lot of this Norm Macdonald episode back in September, but you know, come back to it and you're kind of rehashing it, and I hadn't finished preparing for it. So there was an overlap there where I was literally for a couple of days, all of my free time was either reading Chiron or watching Norm Macdonald videos. And it was
you understand, you're the only person on the planet doing anything remotely like that involving those two figures.
Probably. Yeah.
You should get some sort of you should get drugs, to be honest. You should get
It was one of those things where I was like, there used to be a subreddit called this sentence doesn't exist or something, where it was like people would kind of compete to write a sentence that had never existed before, right?
Right.
And that felt like reading Chiron and listening to Norm Macdonald. I'm not sure anybody had quite as intensely been consuming both of those guys.
That's a real glass bead game moment that you're having there. It's also a case of, in a different time, you'd buy yourself some indulgences for any erratic behavior that might result. Like, I feel like the Bellagio should comp you a room, the first or the second floor. Anything after the third or the fourth floor starts to become dangerous after that.
Right.
We left the pod and he threw himself out the window. I don't know what happened.
I don't understand. let's do a couple blue card jokes just to.
All right.
Yeah. Movie star and award-winning director Ben Affleck has vowed to live for one day on $1.50, or as Adam Egget calls it, a raise.
Hey, Adam Egget. Yeah. I can just hear him in my inner ear. You know,
there's a great like the second or third episode of the podcast, apparently, like they got a write-up in a magazine, right? An Entertainment Weekly or something said something. And so Norm starts reading comments from the public, and it'll be like, Norm loved the show, big fan since SNL, and I'm really loved seeing this turn, and you guys are doing such a great job. Oh yeah, get rid of the fat loser. And every comment is just the end is just a harsh dig at Adam Egget. So funny. Here's another one. I'm so fat that when I get my shoe shined, I have to take the boot black's word for it. The boot black's word for it. Hard to say.
The boot black. Yeah. But you can just hear him going, the boot black's word for it. Yeah. The punchline is the word boot black there.
Right. Exactly. here's a good one. Before I begin, I have a quick public service announcement. Would somebody, anybody, please fuck Martha Stewart? here's one last one, and then we'll get to what I wanted to talk about. I was raised in a broken home. My father was a drunk carpenter. Stupid. These are just random. I mean, I'm just whatever one came up, I was reading. So I struggled a little bit what to talk about in the After Dark episode. I mean, part of the tendency was like, maybe we'll talk about the gambling, but I felt like the gambling was actually kind of critical to understanding the biography. And maybe we could have done that and put this in the regular show. But what I want to talk about is Norm dies in 2021. He dies apparently after a long illness that nobody knows about. So I wanted to really try to get into that story a little bit and maybe see if we can understand what went on. Why didn't he tell people, for instance? What is this disease? What was it like being Norm for the, you know, those years? See if we can get a sense of it. One thing, I guess we'll just kind of lay out what the specifics, you know, the brass tacks of the actual final days. Norm got cancer in 2013. It went into remission and came back on him in 2020. This is the official story. at the time in 2020, nobody really knew about it except for a couple of family members and his longtime assistant and producer, Lori Jo Hoekstra. The cancer that came back in 2020 was myelitis blastic syndrome, which is one of a group of cancers in which immature blood cells in the bone marrow do not mature and as a result do not develop into healthy blood cells. In July of 2021, McDonald entered the City of Hope National Medical Center in Duarte, California, for a round of chemotherapy. There, he developed an infection. He would remain hospitalized here until his death from complications of from acute leukemia on September 4th, 2021. Now, interestingly enough, through some digging, I found an article written by a friend of his from way back in the day, back in his Ottawa stand-up days, and it was really interesting. She said this, this is Sherry O'Brien. She said, Norm battled cancer throughout his life. To the best of my knowledge, he had the disease three times, but it could have been more. This last time, it turns out he lived with it for 9 years, all the while keeping his diagnosis secret. It turns out he had stomach cancer in 1986, and this kept him from doing comedy for a year. They ended up removing, according to this comedian friend of his, Lara Ray, they cut out at least half of his stomach, and he nearly died. And it's interesting, if you go back to his sets in the 80s and 90s, you can see where he sort of puts his hands on his stomach and rubs his stomach a little bit. And it's might be from this, you know, this kind of massive surgery that he had. And yeah, I mean, it got serious. And then, you know, some people who were saying, a couple people were saying, and this has only been, I only found this in a couple of places where this cancer thing, I think it's true. I'm 99% sure it's true that he had cancer in the 80s, but it's not very widely reported.
I could see that having influenced the rest of his trajectory too. Cause I think after you've had cancer and you've beaten cancer, I think there's a bit of like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, that's what some people said. Is it's like it turned him into not reckless, but just like he was all out from there.
All out, all in.
Yeah, push all the chips across the table. I'm in. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting?
Can we interject? Can we stop? Stop the show.
Yes.
Okay. Stop the show. I found an article with 15 jokes. 15 Norm jokes, and I think we should read them back and forth in rapid succession before you go on.
Okay, let's do it.
I'll read the first one. This is too much fun. We don't get to do this on the show, so just indulge us. Hey, if you're here, you're Patreon. We love you. Keep supporting the show. All right. I'll read 15. You read 14. Let's read them all.
Yep.
I once walked in on my parents having sex. It was the most embarrassing 30 minutes of my life.
They say that if you're afraid of homosexuals, it means that deep down inside, you're actually a homosexual yourself. That worries me because I'm afraid of dogs.
Number 13 is just a retelling of the moth joke. So I'll go to 12. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been saying this all night, but let's go. You know, with Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him.
Oh, the next one is the Bob Saget roast, but I'm going to, instead of reading that because they don't have a specific one, I'll tell you one. I think Bob Saget should join the Ku Klux Klan. Not because he's a racist. Bob's not a racist. I just think he'd look better with a hood on account of his face.
That's savage. I love that. Here's one on hypnotism. I went to a hypnotist. He put me under a spell, and every time I had a craving for a cigarette, I would throw up. It's very embarrassing right after sex. I find it pretty hard to get that second date after that. Girls get all snobby after you barf on them.
Norm on alcoholism. He has the disease of alcoholism, and he came to me, he's talking about somebody else, and he came to me and he told me, and I'm the kind of guy that likes to look at the bright side of things. So I told him, I said, Richie, it's true that you have a disease and everything, but I think he got the best one.
It's a disease, but they seem happy half the time.
Exactly.
Norm's lifestyle. I don't do much. I'm too lazy. That's my problem. Hang around my couch, watching the TV, just too lazy. I realized the other day, if I get hit by a truck tomorrow, a big truck could hit me, paralyze me from the neck down. Wouldn't affect my lifestyle a bit, really. It's not even a joke. It's
not really. No, it's just an observation. This next one is that we talked about this in the main episode, chairman of the board. And he said, I bet it's spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Yes. Just yes.
Destroying Courtney Thorne Smith's career on national television.
Hilarious. Yeah, this is really funny. I'm going to read I have a bit
about this just because they did the chairman of the board. We already talked about it. Norm going back was asked about doing this and he said, listen, when I did those jokes on late night TV back in the 90s, you never assumed that people, millions of people would be sharing them on YouTube later. You assumed it's one night, it's over and that's it. And everybody forgets about it. And he's sort of like, I don't know how I would handle that now. Anyway, go ahead.
Good point. You already told this joke, but I want to go at it. The hardest drug I ever did, LSD. I was told to be careful because in 20 years, I can have a flashback. I thought that sounded like a good deal, but 20 years have passed with no flashback. What a ripoff that turned out to be.
It's just horse shit from the big acid companies. This is one. Norm did this a few times where he would say, this is number five. He would say that he was a deeply closeted gay man. And he would say this. He said this, I think, the first time in an interview with Larry King. And Larry King, who doesn't know when the joke is a joke, especially when he's dealing with Norm, goes, are you saying you're a gay man? He says, no, what? I said, I'm deeply closeted. Don't you know what deeply closeted means? Yeah, it means that you're a gay guy. And yes, and it means I would never admit to being a gay man. I'm deeply, deeply closeted.
I got two more here. ID is a strange abbreviation. I is short for I, and D is short for identification. Here's one. Norm's thoughts on dogs. But yep, dogs always race to the door when the doorbell rings. It's almost never for them.
They're saying the number one. This is when Norm's jokes on Conan O'Brien about his wife being a real battle axe. Note that he told these jokes when he wasn't even married, right? And he said, the one says, I got married recently and I was looking in the mirror and I told my wife, I said, I could use you giving me a compliment. I look in the mirror and I just see an old, fat, washed up old man. And I could really use you saying something real nice about me. And she said, well, at least your eyesight's perfect. I said, you dirty dog. The punchline of all the jokes in that series is so good. If you haven't seen it, watch. Norm MacDonald is married to a real battle axe. His punchline is always, you dirty dog.
You dirty dog. Oh man,
so good. I wanted to talk about some of the stuff that showed up in his sets leading up to the time of his demise and see if we can get a little bit into his philosophy for why he didn't tell anybody. I mean, why didn't he tell people he had cancer, right? Well, there's got to be a reason. So let's see if we can get to that. But first, I want to talk about a couple bits that he did where I think he gave his philosophy on dying and illness, because he talked a lot about illness and death in his sets. He was clearly afraid of dying, especially throughout the 2000s. Here's a joke he did. I'm just going to read it because you kind of need the whole thing. My uncle Bert, and notice he calls this character Bert. He became famous in part for playing Burt Reynolds. So I think there's a nod there. My Uncle Burt, we call him Uncle Burt, but he's my great Uncle Burt. He's got bowel cancer now. He's dying of it. See, in the old days, a man could just get sick and die, you know? Now they have to wage a battle. So my Uncle Burt is waging a courageous battle, which I've seen because I go and visit him, and this is the battle. He's lying in the hospital bed with a thing in his arm, watching Matlock on the TV. Instead of that battle, I got him the box set of Matlock. It's not his fault. What's he supposed to do? Go, ah, he's like hitting himself. It's just a black thing in his bowel. The reason I don't like it is because in the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life. You know, what a loser that guy was. The last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but by the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly was what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancel. You know, they were in a battle. I'm pretty sure. I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if you die, the cancer also dies at the exact same time. So that to me is not a loss. That's a draw. You know what I mean? It's not like the cancer is going to jump up and say, I'm going to fuck Uncle Bert's wife. Where is she? I won fair and square. Is this where he works? Hi, name's Cancer. How are you? You could just show me to his cubicle. Yeah, Cancer. Yeah, Bowel. First name's Bowel. That's so funny. Here's another one. Sometimes I actually, about this sort of same topic, sometimes I actually think I won't die. You ever think that? You go, fuck it, I'm not dying. But in your mind, when you realize that your dad died, your grandfather died, your great-grandfather died, the guy before him, I don't know, probably died. I come from a long line of dead people. That's my point.
That is, I come from a long line of dead people is very funny.
It is.
That is great. That's a great one-liner.
It is.
It might not even be original, but God, no, it's funny. It's really good. But in that construction, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's so yeah. Here's another one. I hope a polar bear doesn't eat me. Every time I get on an airplane, you think, I hope I don't die, that a terrorist won't attack me. You think about, what's the odds that a terrorist will attack and kill you? It's almost zero. But what are the odds that your own heart will attack and kill you? It's got to be like 100%, right? Now, there's another thing that he did, and we're getting to, he's going to talk more specifically. There's a moment in an interview where he basically talks about having cancer, and you just don't know it because the official narrative isn't that he has cancer, but he's talking about it. But first, there is this great bit he does that's indicative of where his mindset was, and I think might be partially true. He has this bit that he does with David Letterman where he talks about how, you know, he's kind of a hypochondriac and he's concerned about his health. So every year he's going to the Mayo Clinic. All right. Every year he goes to the Mayo Clinic to get the full workup. That's out by you, right?
It is Rochester, Minnesota. Yes. And it is, if you want to sound real fancy, it's like Smashing Pumpkins. It's Mayo Clinic. You go to Mayo Clinic. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to get it in. We're going to be at Mayo Clinic a lot in the coming Hemingway episode.
Because I
researched that deeply. He had two rounds of electroshock therapy at Mayo Clinic.
Oh, that was at Mayo Clinic.
At the end of his life. Yes. I know too much about this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Well, okay. So Norm was there later. Interesting.
And you got to understand too, Rochester, Minnesota, this is After Dark, so we can go on a tangent a little bit.
Absolutely.
Rochester, Minnesota is Mayo Clinic. Like the town is the hospital, and like the sheik of so-and-so will fly over for treatment.
From the Twin Cities, yeah.
Probably like 75 minutes. Let me look it up. Yeah.
I was just curious. I didn't know. I never knew if it was like suburban Minneapolis or something.
No.
Like its own thing entirely, huh?
It's its own city. Let me look it up because it's been a while since I've been down that way. Yeah. I have no cause to go. Yeah, it's 75 minutes.
Yeah, and every time, how it's funded is every time you eat mayonnaise, they get a nickel or something, right? That's not Norm Macdonald level. He would have done something like that, but it would have been much funnier.
No, you're fine. That's actually pretty funny. That would be a better healthcare system than what the United States has.
Yeah, that's right. This is what we've been
just
driven
give
to.
Give a nickel every splurt of mayonnaise on your fatty McFat dog goes to Mayo Clinic. We invest in crypto.
Right.
Nobody goes bankrupt from medical bills in America ever again.
I like it.
Good job.
A guy can dream. So he has this bit where he goes to the Mayo Clinic every year. Apparently, I don't know if he really did it or not. But one thing that is, he would say, like, the problem is you don't feel like you're getting a real thorough checkup. So what I would do is I would tell every one of the doctors, every one of the specialists I saw that I was having like the worst symptoms. So I was, you know, bleeding from the ass and a cough that just won't go away and all this stomach pain. And he would tell every doctor this, right? And then at the end, turns out clean bill of health, right? And he jokes about how they can't actually tell you good news. All they can tell you is no bad news. Right. Mm-hmm. A doctor. They can only say you're fine for now. If you stick around a little longer, we'll give you some news that'll shatter your life.
Jeez.
but then the joke is apparently it's like, okay, so I've been doing this Mayo Clinic thing and I realized I need to get some life insurance. And it turns out that I've been telling doctors for years that I have all of the worst symptoms and I can't get life insurance now because it's that's on my permanent medical record, even though he doesn't have the symptoms, right?
Oh, that's so funny.
That was really funny.
Yo, I was just looking at Rochester, Minnesota on Google Maps for kicks while you're you're going on. And there's a neighborhood called Pill Hill.
Oh my God. Wow. Pill Hill.
Pill Hill. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds like if that was a neighborhood in Detroit, that would be like where in high school you went and got pills.
Right. Or now after doing Chiron and Norm in the same week.
Need some pills. That was one thing I didn't talk about in the show because I wasn't sure if it was true or not. Norm on several occasions says that he took a bunch of Xanax so that he could go on stage. I don't know if that was actually true or not. Okay, now here's something from an interview with Norm Macdonald talking about cancer, but it's not officially about it, but it's clearly about it, right? And he's talking about some other famous person who announced that they had cancer. Here's what he says. This is a quote from him. "It's almost like the height of narcissism to think that you're going to be so brave as to talk about your illness in person, whereas all you're doing is garnering sympathy. How is it that brave? It seems cowardly to me. Like, I remember Richard Farnsworth, this old character actor, and he did a David Lynch film called The Straight Story. He was riddled with cancer. It was his last movie. It was very frail. It's a fantastic movie if you ever get a chance to see it. He says, I don't know if this is actually true, but he says it. I'm not that big a fan of David Lynch. I don't understand weird stuff. But this one is a straight ahead story. I call it a hard G rating. If you watch it closely, there's absolutely hellish things going on underneath the surface of a quaint story. The point of it is that Richard Farnsworth was nominated for an Academy Award. If he'd said he was filled with cancer, he would have won. But he didn't say it. No one knew it. He did what's called a stuntman's death. Richard Farnsworth, because he was a stuntman. He put a shotgun in his mouth, where you put a shotgun in your mouth and pull the trigger with your toe. That, to me, is courageous. Like, you're not being a burden to your family and then you're gone. He wrote a nice letter to everybody and he said he didn't want to cause people distress. If I had a specific ailment, and possibly I do, you don't know, then I would not talk about it, I hope. I wouldn't want to benefit from it." So he didn't want a bunch of, the whole world would have poured out its heart to Norm Macdonald if he would have said he had cancer. And he would have gotten some of the love that he's only gotten after his untimely passing. And he didn't want that, though, right? He didn't want there to be any confusion about what he had done comedically, I think. You get this whole thing and it's like, oh, everybody loves you because you're dying and they feel bad for you. It's like, no, they love you because you're a comic and you're hilarious, right? And you mastered your art form, even though you don't think it's an art form. So I just thought that was really interesting that he didn't want to use it in any way. He didn't want to benefit from it. There is something noble about it. I don't know, and it does kind of raise the question, is like, what is the sort of moral or ethical thing to do in that situation? Is it short shrifting?
I just don't know. It's so tricky with fame.
You're right.
And that relationship that you have with your audience, what you owe them, what do you really owe them?
Right.
And how maudlin it would all become and kind of grotesque. And you'd have to have everybody come out and talk about how great you were and how important you were. And I could see why he would keep it to himself. And I frankly think a lot of people who gain a level of fame like Norm should probably just back off from public life to a degree.
Yeah.
And come and just kind of come in with quick hits, drop your special.
Right.
Release your book.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of less is more, especially as you age.
Right.
Because the world is, I'm just 40 and I can already tell. Like, I find myself saying kind of new slang and going, oh,
yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
Right.
I'm old. And like, I'm middle aged and like, you're middle aged. And it's like, by the time I'm 60, I'm not going to be trying to keep up with that. And that next year, the kids being born now.
Yeah.
like the best I will do is like raise mine and I'll have some connection to it from there, but I'm not going to pontificate about how they should live or be online or, do you know, like,
So, yeah. I've noticed on that note, it's funny is I noticed about a year ago, I had the realization that like my, it's a small thing, but it kind of relates to this. It's like, I realized that the clothing, the my clothing style, I don't have, I don't feel like I have a style, but like, it's frozen now.
Yeah,
like,
you do. You're a Jesse Pinkman from Detroit.
I'm wearing a hat because it's cold.
I'm trying to paint a picture for our audience. I'm like I'm like Tom Ford.
Oh, and okay. And Brad is. I'm like Jesse Pinkman. Fair enough. Gotcha.
No, man, I'm actually like a Midwestern peasant, which I am, combined with some sort of Eastern European immigrant.
Yeah, a little bit of Euro trash in there.
That's it. I got just there. A little Euro trash for the culture.
Right. But
gotta tell you, the After Dark, that's where we let rip.
It is. But I like this, my point was like, you know how you see like old men and they're dressed like they did when they were like 30? That's how I realized that I'm the same thing. Like I'm gonna basically wear more or less the same clothes from here on out. And perfect. I picked them when I was like 32. I was like, yep, that's where I stop. No new fashion for me. Yep.
That's laudable.
But I think that is the thing, and your sort of sense of humor, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Like you're like just generally it's like slang a little bit. You start kind of phasing out. You're not equipped for the new stuff. You don't have a lot of the context for the new stuff, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have it and you don't want it.
Not really. Yeah.
Nope.
I remember also the first time where like, new music as a genre, I was like, oh, I don't get it. And nope. That is when Skrillex came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that shit when that came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
The breakbeat kind of. Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm not even judging it. Sure. But it was the first time I came out where it wasn't even that I didn't like it. It was just like, oh, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get this music.
Sure.
And there's been plenty of stuff since then. You know,
yeah,
but like that was the first time I was like, oh, yep, I don't get what the kids are up to anymore.
Tell you what, Brad, the more I hear about this Art of Darkness podcast,
dude, what he does, it's actually when he does the first time he does the reading about Adolf Hitler, it's in the running for my favorite bit of comedy because he's reading there, they come across it, they're searching up the origins of 420, the weed holiday, it turns out Adolf Hitler was also born on 420. And Norm reads it like he stumbled across Hitler and never heard of him before, right? And he's like,
"Who's this guy?"
Yeah, exactly. And he says stuff. He's like, "The leader of the National Socialist Party." It says here he was a World War I veteran. Huh? He's got a picture of the fella. He's a very compelling looking figure. Hypnotic. Wait, hold the fort. Turns out he hates Jews.
Oh boy. Oh God. When did he do that? He did that on
the McDonald Live. So it would have been like 2015 or something like that. Uh-oh, so funny.
He did
that
on
a
special. God, that's
funny. No, he did that on his podcast.
Oh, on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Just classic.
Greatest art form today happening is fucking podcasts.
Yeah, it's definitely something, man.
We're bringing back old timey radio.
Yeah.
Right, you have anything else you're dying to say?
No,
about
that's it, man. That's it. I just wanted to, that's basically it. That's such a fun episode to do and research, and it's cool to have Blake back. It's interesting, you know. It was a little over a year since he was with us the first time, and see his career is gone in interesting directions, and our show has gone in interesting directions. It's cool to cross paths with him again and get to talk. So he's such a cool guy.
Well, I just found I'm gonna close this out on three dad jokes from Good Housekeeping.
Nice.
Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
Why was Cinderella so bad at soccer? she kept running away from the ball.
So dumb.
What did the horse say after it tripped? Mm. Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up.
God.
One more. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom?
Because the pee is silent.
Yeah. Silent. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, love you. Come on.